Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
Are the markets on hold ahead of the Fed? We'll talk with Patrick Kayser.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. What's next for the markets after the major averages rose to fresh record highs on Friday? Investors could be pausing ahead of the Federal Reserve policy meeting that takes place Tuesday and Wednesday. It's probably a broken record at this point to say the Fed is expected to raise interest rates for the first time in a year. Joining us to talk about the markets, the economy, and the Fed is Patrick Kayser, Managing Director of the Fundamental Equity Team at Brandywine Global Investment Management. First of all, Patrick, there is this not-so-small matter of the Dow Jones Industrial Average being within shouting distance of 20,000. Do you think the Dow will hit it before the end of the year?
I think it's entirely possible, Charlie. You know, when we look at kind of the momentum, you've got a lot of people out there that were just mispositioned for what's happened. They weren't in some of the out-of-favor stocks that really have been leading the Dow the last month. So I think it's entirely conceivable that the Dow does clear that 20,000 level by year end. And then, you know, we're getting to that point where this is the time of year when people are often optimistic about, you know, good things happening next year. A lot of times they call it the Santa Claus rally. But, you know, we've got some factors that do suggest higher highs from here.
So that was my next question. The major averages were mixed Monday as we speak. Stocks have had quite a run. So you don't think the rally is tapped out at this point?
I don't. It wouldn't surprise me if we had a pause for a couple, 2 or 3 days maybe, just because we've had a pretty violent rotation from things that were more in favor earlier in the year, think utilities, staples, bond proxies, REITs, things of that nature, into some of the names like financials. You know, the energy names have had a big rally. So, you know, the market can't go up every day or every week. So would it surprise me at all, like I said, if we have a few days of consolidation or a little bit of a decline? Not at all. But I think that probably, you know, we probably move higher towards the end of the month. You know, the debate will probably be, you know, how much of the gains this year are being taken from next year's gains, if you will.
Right. The Fed meeting, obviously, is coming up tomorrow and Wednesday. What do you think the Federal Reserve will say in its closing statement on Wednesday? One topic of conversation, to my mind anyway, has been whether the Fed will adjust its monetary policy under a Trump administration. What do you think?
I think they'll probably stay away from anything revolving what might or might not happen under a Trump administration at this meeting. You know, everybody's kind of waiting to see what's rhetoric and what will actually become legislative proposal. So we have that going on. I expect that the Fed probably is in a little bit of a tricky spot in terms of what they say about the labor market in particular, because it looks like we are very close to full employment. Some of the labor statistics we look at are pretty astonishing in terms of unemployment claims on a weekly basis, the quits rate from the JOLTS survey, you know, firings are down. So I think that Janet Yellen and the Fed might actually wish that it looked like there was a little bit more slack, if you will, in the labor market.
Don't you think there's slack in the form of labor participation?
So that's the big debate that's out there, because by some measures, yes, there is slack. We're really not sure how much slack there is out there in terms of participation rate. You know, the one thing we do know is that most of the gains the last several years have accrued to the upper half. And so what will the behaviors be of some of the people that aren't currently looking for jobs in kind of that bottom half from income? You know, we've got catalysts at many states of raised minimum wage levels. We've got more people willing to hire out there from an employer standpoint. Really, they're having trouble finding people, and so there's more opportunity maybe at the lower skilled end of the workforce. But that really is the problem, I think, is that for highly skilled workers, the participation rate is exceptionally high. And it's really, you know, kind of on those lower income levels where people have been struggling and they haven't reaped the benefits of the growth over the last several years, that the participation rate is probably depressed. And that probably isn't exactly the kind of worker, unfortunately, with the skills that employers are looking for right now. So my guess is the participation rate among highly skilled workers is pretty close to full employment.
Turning to the dollar, Patrick. The dollar's been on a roll lately. Isn't that likely to continue if rates go higher, and couldn't that affect the economy going forward, especially multinational companies?
Yeah, so this is one of my big worries for 2017. A strong dollar is not necessarily in the country's best interest. I know that if the economy is getting better, you know, the argument is out there that we can handle a stronger dollar. But I do think that it is a concern for many multinational companies. Right now, I think that some of the movements are more based on hope in certain areas rather than data. That's not to suggest the data hasn't been getting stronger, because it has, in terms of, you know, what leading economic indicators and surprise indexes look like. But it's a real risk. Our models here at Brandywine don't show, you know, they show the dollar pretty fairly valued. So we don't believe that a lot of strength is a lot more additional strength is justified. But that doesn't mean that it won't continue to move up, and that could be a real challenge at some point to improving economic prospects.
I'm talking with Patrick Kayser of Brandywine Global Investment Management, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
Today's episode is brought to you by OnePlus, maker of the new OnePlus 3T smartphone, the next generation of the year's best-reviewed phone. Featuring industry-leading processor speeds, 16-megapixel front and rear-facing camera, up to 128 gigabytes of storage, and a premium all-metal build. Plus, the OnePlus 3T has Dash Charge, an exclusive technology that sets a new benchmark in charging speeds. A quick half-hour charge will give you a full day's worth of battery life. Make it yours without a carrier contract at OnePlus.net.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm talking with Patrick Kayser of Brandywine Global Investment Management. Patrick, do investors have misgivings, any misgivings about Donald Trump at this point? He really hasn't fleshed out too much in the form of policy. And also there's, you know, controversy over his cabinet picks. What kind of emphasis as far as concern are you placing on those particular matters?
I think any investor right now would be reluctant to use the word misgivings, because we might get, you know, tweeted at, if you will.
Right.
But I certainly think that there's maybe confusion is the best word, or uncertainty is a better word, because we don't really know, as you know, what is rhetoric and what will be a proposal. So, and we don't know time frames. We don't really know priorities. I think the one thing we know is this is an administration that, for better or for worse, will generate controversy and protest and opposition. And right now the market largely is overlooking that. And at some point the sentiment will swing the other way, at least temporarily, where people get concerned that either the economic agenda won't be as pro-growth as people hoped for, or his unpopularity might limit the prospects of his agenda getting passed, whatever his agenda might be. And so, you know, we have in President-elect Trump an individual that's been on both sides of some issues, like trade, and rhetoric towards big banks versus some of his appointees. So there's a desire for clarity. You see it coming out of a lot of industry statements. And right now the market is optimistic that there will be very pro-growth policies. But, you know, we have to wait and see the specifics that come out. So I don't know if I'd go all the way to misgivings, but there's certainly a desire for more clarity and more specifics once he actually takes office.
Patrick, what stock sectors do you like at this point?
So we continue to really like financials. I think generally we do believe that 10-year and longer rates will continue to go higher, that short-term, you know, this is not a case like last year where we'll see a Fed hike in December and then nothing for another 12 months. So 10-year at 2.5 roughly today, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 3% or higher over the next year. That'd be very positive for big banks, in particular. Some of the regional banks rely a little bit more on loan growth than on rate hikes. So we like banks. We like private equity firms like KKR, Blackstone, things of that nature, benefit from economic growth. So if we do see this trend towards slightly faster growth, and we've seen that should be very, very beneficial to those firms. And the other thing we really like that I think is out of consensus right now is generally the autos, auto parts, things of that nature. Right now there's been concern over the past couple of years about peaking sales, but I have a hard time seeing how, if we get tax cuts and better economic growth, how sales are really going to decline meaningfully. I think we're more likely to see a plateau like we did from 2000 to 2006 or 7. And that sector right now, just across the board, is exceptionally cheap relative to the rest of the market.
Which sectors are you staying away from?
So we think utilities and consumer staples, think food companies and things of that nature. Both of those really have been bond proxies, trading, you know, with the idea that interest rates are going to remain low, so that's a place to go for yield and what have you. And if our thesis plays out that rates do move higher, these are very expensive stocks. I mean, they're very expensive relative to history now. And so, you know, they could have a meaningful correction from these levels over the next 12 months if growth is reasonable and rates pick up.
It seems to me one sector that's been sort of out of the rally for the most part is the technology sector.
Yes, it's a tricky one because the largest market caps in many ways are really struggling with transitions to cloud and things of that nature. And they're not really the growth companies, maybe with the exception of Google and Facebook and Amazon, but some of the traditional leaders, your Microsoft, your Cisco's, your Oracle's, and we like some of them on valuation, don't get me wrong. But it's not necessarily clear. There's not the big thing out there that tech investors often look for. And the stocks were very heavily owned for people looking for growth. And now I think some of those investors are rotating into energy and financials, and the money has to come from somewhere. So tech a lot of times really relies on a story.
Yeah.
And the story isn't clear right now.
You just spoke of energy briefly. Are you watching this oil supply cut agreement among non-OPEC countries? Are there worries about whether this deal will stick?
Well, there's always worries about whether any deal involving OPEC will stick. I mean, history says to be suspicious. We've actually, at Brandywine, have been fairly bullish on energy for most of this year, and we increased our position back in February pretty nicely with the idea that supply and demand were already starting to head towards balance. This deal, if it sticks, will certainly accelerate and probably put the market in a shortfall, and we'll see inventories start to come down. But there's been just the underinvestment in the sector the last two or three years due to falling prices really is creating a trend that probably for the next several years leaves a much tighter market than we've had for the last couple. There simply hasn't been the investment globally to replace natural production declines in many places.
Patrick Kayser, Managing Director of the Fundamental Equity Team at Brandywine Global Investment Management, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.